This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get to Jordan, I just want to shout out Barbara from Long Island. She sent a really nice message on Twitter, at Bart and Han. Really love listening to the show and want to wish you and your families a very happy holiday, hoping for a very happy new year. Stay safe up in New York. Barbara in Florida from Long Island. Barbara, thank you so much, and we thank everybody, of course, for all the well wishes, and we, of course, extend them both to you. Both of us extend to you as well. Jordan Schultz joins us right now. I've been waiting to get Jordan on the show for a while, as we've waited a long, long time to get back to NBA and get this league, although we haven't waited that long, only 72 days since the finals from the previous year ended, but the bubble was a little different. So Jordan jumps in right now, and if you know Jordan, you know him. He's an ESPN insider. He does this great job with CJ McCollum on the Pull Up Podcast. It's a must listen. You see him in the boardroom as well, Daily Wager. So he's a guy that has extensive knowledge, not of just basketball, of all sports, but especially basketball. He's my guy. So Jordan, first and foremost, happy holidays. Thanks for, I finally got you on, and this is the perfect time to do it. How you doing, man?
Alan, you're too kind, and that introduction is beyond special. So I appreciate the opportunity to come back on, and happy holidays to both of you as well.
All right, so let's go right out of the gate. You heard my take there on the Nets.
Yeah.
They are the team to beat. Don't even try to convince me about the Bucks. Don't convince me about, Miami was in the final last year, or, the Sixers now have a new coach, and maybe things will be different. No. What I saw last night out of Kevin Durant told me that's the team to beat.
Yeah. So I totally agree. You're preaching to the choir. I've been trying to get as many people to buy into this theory or this notion that KD, coming off the Achilles, it's not going to be an issue. 18 months, and it looked like he looked completely fresh. And I there's a couple things that stood out. The first quarter, they go for 40 points, almost 60%, and they combine it for 27 points. So Kevin comes out early, and he's firing, he's confident, and clearly he felt like he wanted to make a statement like, I'm back. And then you have Kyrie, who's the perfect guy for Nash, and likewise, because Nash says, here are the keys, Kyrie, you go ahead. I'm going to defer to you and let you run this team the way you need. And then you have all these shooters. When you think about how comfortable that offense looked, and I know Golden State's not a barometer necessarily for championship success, but I think that's a competitive team, and obviously Steph is there. So I thought Brooklyn looked great, but also I don't know if it was surprising, but it stood out to me how comfortable both Kevin and Kyrie looked, and then some of the ancillary parts. Bringing Karis off the bench, it's a 20-point scorer. Mm-hmm. Spreading the floor with Joe, they just looked like they were firing on all cylinders already. So I'm really excited to see them get more and more comfortable.
And you know what? In a season like this with a short preseason, it is the team that looks like they're ready from day one. And the Lakers didn't look ready from day one, but the teams that are prepared and ready to go from the gate can jump out to a big start that can propel them, obviously, this season, right? Like, I feel the short preseason is going to affect some teams negatively, and some teams will take advantage of it, and the Nets might be one of those teams.
You're right. It's the same thing as the bubble, right? Like Miami having this really good mix of veteran and young players coming together in the bubble. The short preseason is 100%. I totally agree with you. But also, if you think about the East, and you mentioned Milwaukee, and it's Boston, Toronto, Indiana will be competitive. Brooklyn, to me, because of Kevin and Kyrie and that friendship, that relationship first, that extends on the floor. And I don't know if Kyrie meant to be negative toward LeBron with those comments a couple months back, but they never had that type of friendship that Kevin has with Kyrie. And I think having that, as well as Steve Nash, who, there are some similarities, right, between Nash and Kerr when they both took over. But Brooklyn does have a lot of pressure. And I think Nash coming in as an inexperienced head coach, but a very experienced basketball mind who understands how players think and operate, is a big plus for them.
Yeah, the Kerr parallel is actually pretty good because although Nash had a greater career than Kerr, right? Obviously, two-time MVP. Their personalities are so similar because they're both pretty, they have that self-deprecating side to them. They're pretty understated personalities. They're not big, huge ego guys. Yet, they'll be good with the quick wit in the moment where you kind of just need, take the pressure off with a little joke or a quick little comment, and it kind of takes the pressure off the room. But yet, you put them in the crucible, they're fighters, both of them. I mean, they're highly competitive people.
Nasty, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, you'll see that smile quickly goes away, and both of them. I've seen Steve Kerr in the Crucible. I mean, you've seen that look in his eye where he all of a sudden can get really aggressive, and Nash is the same way. So it's a great parallel between the two, and we'll see if they can have, if he can have the same type of success that Steve had.
Steve Kerr punched out Michael Jordan. That's all I need to know about him. And Nash, you know, Nash was, if you talk to Amari or any of these good players around him, Sean Marion, they all said Steve Nash was an absolute warrior.
Yeah.
So I totally agree, and I'm really excited to see Brooklyn as they, you know, like I said, they're going to get better and better. That was just one game.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, but I just loved seeing KD moved the way he moved, because normally, you know, you come off the Achilles. Now, I know it's been a really long, it's been an, he got the extended time to recover, but that fear of, look at him, he's dragging a leg, or look at, like, he doesn't have the bounce, the pop isn't there anymore, like, whatever, something's missing, the jumper's off balance because he's favoring the other leg. Like, none of that was there. He looked like the exact same player before the injury, did he not?
He did, and the way I view it is not just the scoring, but to your point that the movement and the style of which he's able to score, the versatility. So, you know, how would he explode? How would he change speeds and explode to the basket? You know, how would he elevate? He had an and one pull up, you know, from 18 feet right in the first quarter. And as soon as he went into that hard right dribble where he just exploded up, I was like, he's back. I was hoping I would see that. I didn't know because Nash said, you know, he's about 90%. It's going to take him 15, 20 games. So it wasn't just the scoring. It was the freedom of movement, the explosion, changing speeds, and then just the comfort level of being on a basketball floor at this level without playing for 18 months. It's not easy to do.
No question about it. We're talking with Jordan Schultz. He's ESPN's, like, really every man. I mean, you call him insider, but he hosts. You see him on the boardroom. You see him doing podcasts. He's all over the place. A great talent and a great NBA mind. So when we talk about Nets, obviously it's that, okay, so when do they trade for James Harden, right? Like, when does that happen? Because that seemed to be an expectation.
Yeah.
No, but that's what everybody's like, you know, when does that happen? When does that happen? Now, this story out today about the video that's circulating about Harden maskless in a strip club. They're supposed to play tonight against the Thunder, and now the league's looking into this, and I got to be honest with you. How do you possibly let him in that locker room? Like, you've got to test him not just one time, but maybe he's got to pass a couple of tests before you let him in the locker room. Do you think he did this on purpose because he doesn't want to play, or is this just him being careless?
I think it's a combination of, like, I'm sick of this organization.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here. And also, you know, James Harden has his jersey retired in strip clubs. So, we need to be honest. You know, the polarizing guy. He's a great player. You can easily say he's a top five player in this league. He's a generational player. But, you know, this really is the story with Harden throughout his tenure. I think he's, you know, because of his talent, he's able to get away with so much because he's such a special talent. But at the same time, Alan, you know, I don't know how you bring him back into this locker room that's trying to get healthy. You know, they're trying. Houston wants to compete. They believe they can compete in the West. And whether or not you agree, that's why they made the John Wall trade to go out and get a guy that they believe in and is going to come back. And, you know, they obviously get Christian Wood. They spent money on him. They have a good roster. So I would be surprised if Houston makes a really big deal of this, like, long term, but I do believe that in the short term, this, in these next few days, you have to be really careful, because if you're trying to create a new, healthier locker room with a new head coach, the key is to stand up to your best player and the leader and the face of the organization. So, having talked to some people within the organization, they believe it's going to be okay, but they're also, I think, being very careful, you know, in these next few days here as the season starts.
Now, that was interesting too, that Adam Silver, when he talked to Stephen A, you know, when he was making the comments about the Harden stuff, you know, he did sort of make it sound like, hey, listen, when you sign a long-term contract, that's a responsibility that you have. You can't just, you know, start acting up and force your way out of places when you sign that contract. So I can't imagine. Sometimes, as you know, like, the league might get involved. Let's facilitate. Let's just make something happen so everybody's happy. This, you know, when you're at the end of your contract, a team might be more motivated to move you because you're going to walk. He's not at the end of his contract. There's really no motivation to trade him other than he's miserable and you don't want to put up with it. So it's going to be awkward. It really is. And if you cater to him, well, what stops any other player now for saying, well, I don't like it here either. Let me get out of here.
Exactly right. And that's why you have to stand up to James Harden. You know, very few people have. But also, yeah, like, the reason I've said they're probably not going to deal him, at least now, is because the asking price is so astronomically high. If you're a team like a Brooklyn or Philadelphia that you believe you can contend right now, there's no way you're going to mortgage your future with a young asset and pick or multiple ones to get a guy in James Harden who you really don't know if it's going to be a great fit and what's he going to be like on the locker room. So, yeah, I would expect the trade rumors to heat up again as a team starts to fade, maybe that believes they could be competitive in a GM that needs to win now. But I don't see him getting moved in the short term. And if I'm Houston, like I said, I really got to be careful with the situation, how I handle it.
Now, Jordan, let me ask you then about maybe I'll start a little trade rumor here. Let me ask you about it. We'll go back to last night's game. I'm watching that game, and I know, you know, you said the Warriors aren't the championship contender that they were, so it's a little different look of a team. I actually see a team that I think is going to have a hard time this year. Like, they look, yeah, they're very young in some places. I don't think they're not nearly the talent. Like, some people had thought, okay, they're going to come back and they're going to return to championship contender. I actually think that era is in its, you know, they're in their silver years now. Like, they're, you know, they're going to the early bird special. Like, I know they're a young team, but the championship era, you know, that window's pretty much shut. And watching Steph Curry last night, he's 2 for 10 from three. The most enthusiasm I saw out of him was when he gave KD the pregame hug. Like, he just looked around him like, I got to carry this team, and that's a lot. So what would you say to this? The Warriors try to accelerate where they are right now, knowing that Klay's out another year, and he's going to be another year older, and Draymond's getting a year older. Steph Curry's got a big contract, and he's got a lot of value right now. Do you consider, if you can get a haul of draft picks for him, would you think about moving him?
No. Not even for a second.
Wow.
Come on, Steph, right?
Wow, you just popped my balloon. I had a
No, because I, okay, so you, listen, I don't want to overreact to one night, but they did look bad. I mean, they looked horrible. They couldn't do anything offensively, defensively. They were hurting.
And Wiggins will drive him
Wiggins
crazy.
Wiggins goes 4 of 16. Yeah. You could just see Brooklyn saying, oh, you want to shoot a three? Go ahead.
right.
You know, and
rather you than Steph.
And Wiggins played well for them last year, but I think with Steph at 32, you still have to give it one more shot because he's such a generational player. And, you know, because of him not necessarily relying on super athleticism and being such a skill-oriented player, I think he'll be able to play well into his 30s. And I still believe in Klay coming back. I know the injury, again, is devastating. But if I'm the Warriors, I'm still thinking, you know, I want to give this one more shot. I wouldn't rush with Steph, and I wouldn't sell that. But listen, it's not the craziest idea, because if you put Steph Curry on the market, you better believe you would get an unbelievable return. But if I still, if I'm the Warriors, want to give it another shot.
I mean, that's a player, even at his age and his size, it doesn't matter to me. And I know he's got the injury history as well. I don't care.
But he's bad ankles. Yeah, the ankles.
Yeah, the ankle thing. But, you know, he can get, like, nicked up a little bit here and there. But a guy that can shoot like that has so much value. And he's also, what a great personality. Like, everything that he brings, aside from just being, you know, a great shooter, one of the great shooters in the history of the game. Like, I just think that, like, it could accelerate your cause with a guy like Wiseman is he 20 yet? I don't even know. He didn't look it.
Barely. But he's really going to be a good player.
No, you could see it. Yeah, you could see it. And then garbage time is really what you saw most of it. I think he had like 7 straight points in the fourth quarter. The game was already out of hand. But you just kind of got to feel, okay, he could shoot from the outside. He's got a little feel to this game. He can handle the basketball, like, over time. But his, like, it's not parallel to Curry. You know, his trajectory is just, by the time he's getting it, Steph's going to be done. So it's almost like the roster is a bit incongruent, and they've got to decide, do you just go all in with the rebuild now and get as much assets as you can, or do you just hang on and hope for one more graybeard, you know, run at it before it's over? That's why I asked the question. It's a fair question.
They have to, if it's the latter and they really want to give it our shot, which I do think they do, you know, they have to believe that, you know, last night's Oubre Wiggins 7 of 30 wasn't indicative of the rest of the season. Pascal, who they really like, the Villanova kid, you know, didn't really do much either. So I hear what you're saying. The other part about it is the West is so brutal. I mean, it's top to bottom.
That's my point.
Who's been bad in the West? You know, Phoenix, Memphis, Sac, they're all going to be better.
Yep.
So it's going to be very, very tough for them this season. But I do think they'll be competitive. I think they'll be better than they were last night.
I'm curious to see Steph's energy and if he wants this. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to have to just be out of his mind. Like that Steph Curry, you remember, just running all over the place, running all, like, five different screens he's running off of and just dribbling, you know, like Curly Neal. Like, I need, is, does he have that much energy to give you that this year? Or does he feel like this is not worth that energy and I need to be careful? That's what I'm going to watch.
Yeah, and not having Klay impacts that. And then also 100%. Not being a contender impacts
right.
that.
Yeah, your like energy. LeBron right.
Right. It's LeBron's first year in L.A. where he's uh-huh. saying, you know, I got to conserve. You know, I have a lot of young players around me. This is not the year. So it's an interesting. Yeah, we have to pay attention to it, especially in a shortened season.
No doubt about it. All right, so I'll put you on the spot then and ask you this question then. I've got two players who are considered MVP candidates. One is a two-time MVP, so you know, obviously, it's Giannis. And the other one is somebody that everybody expects could win it this year, and that's Luka. And I'm looking at both their teams, and I'm wondering which one gets more frustrated with his supporting cast first. Because as you know, what comes with being an MVP or being a guy that everybody considers top five player? It's okay. Can you lead your team to a championship? Now, Giannis, that's getting louder and louder for him. Now, I know everybody loves Jrue Holiday, and the changes that they did make to the roster, has it been enough for an upgrade? I say no, especially the way Brooklyn looks. I don't think that makes them. In fact, I think they actually take a step back only because Brooklyn emerges ahead of them, in my opinion. So does he reach a point where he looks around going, Chris Middleton's nice, but he's not nice enough. There's not enough here, like, for me to win, and that's going to start bothering him as the criticism will come? Or does Luka look around and go, Porzingis is exactly what I need as a number two, but he's never available. He gets hurt all the time. And when does he say, I need help? Well, I need. So which guy do you think
that's a good one.
Is the first one to, maybe not publicly, but behind the scenes, and you're really good at getting that information. You're great at that. I've heard this, I've heard that. Which guy will you hear first start grumbling to friends? I need more. We're not going to be able to win here, and it's all going to be my fault.
The good news if you're a Dallas and Milwaukee fan is that neither one of those guys, you know, likes to complain.
Publicly.
Dirk was awesome in Dallas, but he complained. He was a complainer. He was a great guy, but Cuban will always say, you know, he complained. You know, with Luka, he's kind of this new age mentality of he's just going to keep grinding, and at his age, he's wise beyond his years. Yeah. With Giannis, I would lean Giannis to answer your question, because Giannis just signs this mega deal that's insane money, and now there's way more pressure on him to win, especially given the issues in the playoffs, you know, last year, you know, particularly. So the fact that Milwaukee goes out and gets Holiday is a big plus, and I thought Bogdanovich would have been really helpful. But Milwaukee's lineup, their roster flexibility offensively, it doesn't compare, in my opinion, with what Dallas has, assuming KP is healthy. And I think, you know, bringing in Josh Green, I think that will really help Dallas defensively, because that'll take off a lot of the pressure for Luka to guard mm-hmm. twos and threes. Mm-hmm. And I think Dallas, because Luka is still so young and hasn't had necessarily the pressure to win now, you know, with Dirk's first year, it was like about Dirk, or Dirk's last year was about Dirk. And so now I think Milwaukee, if there's any one of those two that's going to feel it more, it'd be Giannis.
I'm telling you, those are two names I'm watching, because, like I said, I ask it only because that's what comes with when you start being talked about as a great player. Now it's, can you win? And I'm looking at both those teams. And you're right. I agree with you. I do think it's Giannis, although you just signed that thing, so you've got nothing to complain about. Like, you knew what you were getting yourself into. But Luka's the guy, I think, as great as KP is as a number two mm-hmm. for him. I mean, what a perfect fit he really is.
It is.
It's his availability that is the most frustrating thing, and eventually that would get to me, because I'd be out there just getting my head kicked in, and I'd be looking at him in you know, in his skinny jeans and his street clothes going, bro, you ever getting out here? Because I can't do this by myself.
I know.
And he just seems to be on the bench a lot. That's the big question.
He is. And that's a concern internally with Dallas. You know, they want to believe that KP's that guy, the number two, but he has to be on the floor. But don't you think, and I know we got to go, but don't you think that with Giannis, he would never admit this publicly, Alan, but don't you think he's got to feel internally, this has to be at least a finals appearance season. And if things go awry, let's say they limp off to a 7-5 start, or they end up going 10-8 to begin the season, doesn't it feel as if he's going to feel all of that pressure, as opposed to Luka, where if they don't get off to a great start, it's not as if it's here we go again.
Right. I think you're right, and I do think that'll be interesting to see how he handles the criticism, because I do think that's coming. Now that he signed that big contract, you know, all the rose petals that have thrown at his feet over the last couple of years, now we're going to start saying, wait, you make a quarter of $1 billion, you know, and you can't make a jump shot outside of 10 feet. That's what you're going to start getting at. You can't get your team to the conference final. Yeah, I'm telling you, that stuff's going to start nitpicking at him, and then you wonder how thin is his skin now that everybody's not just fawning over him and his story and how great he's become, because, okay, you've now got, and I love this phrase, I steal it from Jerry Maguire all the time, you've got the Quan. You've got the Quan now. The only thing missing is the championship, and can you do it? So it's a lot of great stories for this season, though, Jordan. It's always fun to talk basketball.
Can I give you one more thought?
Go ahead. Love it.
If Luka and Dallas, it's like they're still dating and everything's great and nothing annoys you about one another. Giannis in Milwaukee, they're now married.
Yeah.
And you start to feel, okay, you know, I don't really like that thing he does.
They're home from the honeymoon.
Not making exactly.
So home from the honeymoon, going to, now they're back to work, and now the routine starts to begin. And then, it's the toothpaste left on the vanity. It's all that stuff that now starts to happen. You can tell we've both been through it. My man, hey, have a great holiday. Have a great new year. And once we move on to the show on the bigger stage, obviously you're going to be a big part of it. So thanks, my brother.
Thank you, Alan. Be good.
800-919-3776 is the number. We've got some calls. We got little audio files to tell you about as well. And we also want to tell you this portion of the show is driven by your local Lexus dealer. Lexus dealer. Okay. Lexus ES now available with all-wheel drive, giving you control and confidence to take on almost anything. Experience amazing. See your Lexus dealer. This update from James Harden via his Instagram. One thing after another, he says. I went to show love to my homegirl at her event, and in parentheses he says, not a strip club, because she's becoming a boss and putting her people in position of success. And now it's a problem. Every day it's something different. No matter how many times people try to drag my name under, you can't. The real always end up on top.
Well, I just want a fair chance, man.
At least now we know which position he likes. So that's not the issue, James.
Phrasing?
You're right about the phrasing. The issue for James is you're not wearing a mask. And, I mean, you're in the NBA, and that's part of the deal that they begged all their players to do. You've got a game tonight. You got to walk in your locker room, and you're out in public. Sans mask. Whether you like it or not, it's part of the agreement. And you just decided you're not going to do it. And then you're going to walk in the locker room, right? You're just going to just toss COVID all over the place. You're good with that? You're all set? You're fine? Take down your whole franchise. Take down your whole team. Maybe even the league. Shut it all down. You have no problem with that. That's the problem. It's not why you were out. It's not even where you were. It's what you did while you were there with zero awareness of what's going on around you. And that's why people think maybe you don't care. So nobody's trying to take your name down. What they're trying to do, well, your name's already up in the rafters at this club anyway. What they're trying to figure out is what are you doing right before the season starts? That's it. 800-919-3776. Got some calls. Tessa in West Caldwell. Got to talk to you, Tess. What's up?
Hey, guys.
Come on now.
Alan, I just wanted to say to you and Bart, you know, Merry Christmas, and I wish you guys a warm, happy new year to your families, to your ESPN family, everybody. You guys are the best, number one.
You know we love you very much. Thank you, and the best to you.
You know how much I love you guys. Well, I wanted to ask you, Alan, real quick, repeat the time, January 4th, you guys are going to start being on here.
So the 4th, we're still here, 11 to 1. One more show on the 4th. Uh-huh. It's the 5th, we move. It's just an hour. It's 12 to 2. We'll be noon to 2. I know. Hey, we've been all over the map. For 12 months, we went from 1 to 3 to 11 to 1, now 12 to 2, somewhere in the middle. Like, we're the moving target.
You know I'm following. You know me. You know you my favorite show, so it don't matter. You know how I do. I take lunch. I do whatever. So, you know, my voice a little raspy right now because, you know, I'm a little softy. I got these 2 months of cold for Christmas, Giants and the Lakers, but whatever. I just want to tell you this real quick. James Harden is a rotten egg. I don't know why he feels like his behavior is going to force him out of Houston and another team is going to pick that up. I never understood why players do that. When you misbehave badly, why do you think people want you that bad? I understand he's probably the best one-on-one player that there is right now, but your behavior stinks. Like, who wants that? Who wants those headaches, especially with this pandemic? We don't have time for that nonsense. So that's just on that take. I know you're excited about the Nets, me too, but I know KD's your favorite player, but Allen, it is just one game, and they do look amazing, but just to call the East, no way. I think Washington is going to be a problem.
I really think
Washington is going to be a problem.
Oh, no, I think Washington will be good. No, you're not wrong about Washington with Russ and Beal, if they're healthy.
I
agree they're going to be tough. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm for that game. I think that game's going to be real interesting. Because because Russ and Kyrie,
I can give that to the Nets. I can keep the conference finals to them, I'm not going to say they're coming out because the East is actually a little tougher now. And I don't know why I think Washington going to be a sneaky team. I'm telling you, Beal is a problem, and now he has Russell Westbrook. That's a problem. It's just going to be a problem, a major problem, Alan.
I look forward to it. I look forward to it. Tess, we got to run. Great to hear from you.
Okay,
God bless.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you in the new year. You have a great holiday. Yeah, I love Tessa's passion. She didn't get into the Giants, but, we got to move on. Because you know what? Who else we got to get? We got to get Spike in New Jersey in here. Spike, what's up? How are we doing, Spike?
Okay, thanks for getting me in. I echo Tessa's sentiment about how I feel about you guys. Sorry, I'm a little under the weather today. So let me tell you what I see. I disagree with Tessa on James Harden. I'll take Kyrie Irving one-on-one against anybody. He's just the best one-on-one player I've ever seen.
He's an amazing handle.
He makes space. And he's a little more reliable than James on the shot, but that's neither here nor there. You know, you're parsing. The thing about the Knicks tonight, I break down games and I look at it. I love this Indiana team. And the Knicks showed they played the two worst teams in the league. Their win totals at Cleveland and Detroit are right below the Knicks, I would assume. You have it in front of you.
Same place.
So the Knicks, the kids showed good. He made a couple of shots quickly, but closing out is the same problem again. And Indiana's got six guys on that team that could shoot the three ball. I don't know if Warren's playing or not tonight. He may be out. But so it's five guys. And I want to see what Mitchell does against the big guy with the headband. I always forget his name.
Does he
Does he come out and guard him?
Yeah, that's good. Well, he's going to have to because Turner can hit those threes, as you know, and he's a good defender at the rim as well. It's the first big challenge.
He's still young, and the backcourt's really tough. I think Indiana.
Brogdon's very good.
Toronto's a sleeper team in the East, too, Alan. You're getting rid of them a little too fast. They're a very good defensive
team. The only thing I'm saying is that no one has the star power and talent that the Nets have at the very top.
Nets have a ticket. They don't win the conference finals. They'll be very big disappointment, and I agree with you, and thanks again. There's one person in this world that will disagree with you and me about KD being the best Net ever. I used to work at the station. You know who it is?
Bill Daughtry.
Dr. J was his favorite player?
Yeah, I know. But we're saying NBA version, though, of the Nets. That's what we're saying. Spike, have a great new year, a great holiday. All the best to you and your family.
And stay well.
All right, you too. Stay well. That's Dr. J was the ABA version of the Nets. That's the only reason why I think we could say that with full confidence. But I actually think, again, side by side, KD's an unbelievable scorer. I mean, an unbelievable scorer, but we know Dr. J, he was a bad man, bad man. All right, with that, let's get to audio files.
The audio file.
All right, so you heard Tessa talk about how she wasn't happy with the Lakers. They did lose last night in their debut against the Clippers. They got their rings, very nice. They got the banner, the whole thing. But then they got off to a terrible start. They were down big. They did make a push. Paul George and company, though, were able to hold them off, get the win. LeBron didn't have a great game. And then he had a little bit of an ankle tweak. Now, they play on Christmas Day against Dallas. Will LeBron be available? He believes he should be, but it would be interesting if all of a sudden now LeBron's off the docket for Christmas Day. Anyways, it was a quick turnaround. They won a championship 72 days later. They're back playing a new season. So what was that quick turnaround like for you, LeBron?
It's not the fact that it's starting over. It's the fact that it's here already. You know, I've always had a routine of how I prepare going into a season after a finals run or after a playoff run, knowing the amount of time that I kind of have for my body, for my mind, you know, for the team that we're going to be. And it was just so much uncertainty of when we're going to start the season, how we're going to start the season. Is it going to be December? Is it going to be early December? Is it going to be Christmas? Is it going to be January? Is it going to be all these other things? And then boom, December 1st training camp, first game of the season is happening on the 22nd. So it was just a lot. I can't even sit here and lie to you. It was too much to kind of grasp. But we're in it now. Like I said, I'm happy today is over with, and we can focus on the season. But it's just a lot. It's a lot to process.
Yeah, it's the shortest break between a championship and a new season that we've seen in professional sports in North America. It's just these kind of times. You could argue these guys had a long enough break from when the season ended March 11th to when the bubble began at the end of July. So physically, it shouldn't take that big of a toll. But, you know, again, it's just weird. Your body, especially for athletes, you're on a body, you're on a clock, you're in a routine. And this is certainly breaking that routine. But that's why I said, we were talking with Jordan about it. Like, your teams that are the best prepared, teams that are just ready to go, they can take advantage of it. And the Lakers, it's, you know, again, it's going to be a little tough, but they'll figure it out once the competitions all begin, and they did last night. All right, meanwhile, this is a crazy story. As you know, it's a different world. We had a caller earlier talking about, you know, the culture of sports and everything, and, you know, us old guys, there's something that happens now that we're like, what the hell is that? That would, you know, back in our day, that would never happen. Well, Juju Smith-Schuster has done something that we've seen before, dancing on the logo of the other team, right? Like, we've seen that. We've seen players do it. In fact, I believe it was T.O. that was doing that famously one time and got knocked out. Well, Juju did this. He's been doing this lately pregame, and he's got somebody recording it, so he puts it on his TikTok. And, well, as you saw against the Bengals, they didn't like it, and they... Yeah, they knocked his clock. They cleaned his clock with a big hit and a turnover and a loss for the Steelers. So Mike Tomlin, of course, now has to answer to this. And he did talk about Juju and his TikTok dances on opponents' logos.
I am aware of it, and I do plan to talk to Juju, but we're professionals. I doubt any of those antics and things of that nature are legitimate motivating factors as you step into professional stadiums. But it's about respect, and so we'll have a conversation. But I understand it's about the quality of play inside the white lines, and so I'm not seeking comfort or looking for excuses based on our recent performances on things that occur in pregame or things of that nature that are social media related.
Just weird. I love how he said he didn't. He sound like a parent. Like, he had no tone in his voice at all. No, just complete, just monotone. As if he's like, I got to deal with this. Absolutely annoyed. But hey, they're saying, oh, just let the kids have fun. No, not if you're not getting your head kicked in. Last but not least, this was from last week, and it didn't really jump out as much until I watched a game yesterday where Shefty went on Twitter as I'm watching. The net game was like a blowout, and I was like, I'm bored. And Shefty's like, hey, Boca Raton Bowl. I'm like, why would I watch that? Zach Wilson, who he was 17 of 21, 353 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 rushing touchdowns, and it was only the first half. Zach Wilson, a quarterback for BYU, and you know how thirsty we get. So, okay, Shefty, I'll change the channel, and I watched. He finished 26 of 34 for 425 yards, 3 touchdowns, and the 2 rushing touchdowns. So 5 total touchdowns, and BYU wins 49-23. Now, they played UCF, all right? I get it. But still, caught my attention. So it's like, all right, let me know about this guy. Steve Young, what do you think of the guy that played at your college, Zach Wilson?
The kid is a really good player. I mean, I'm not going to say he's Patrick Mahomes, but I'm saying what he plays like Patrick Mahomes.
What?
Like, there's no throw he can't make, and he's just intuitive and really present when he's playing. And, man, every week you're like, wow, this is something good.
So now the hashtag that I'm getting from Jet fans is Mormon Mahomes. And Steve Young, and by the way, that was courtesy of KNBR, his appearance there, talking about BYU football. And that's like, what, that's from November? He's talking about, this was from November. Wow, I thought this was last week. This is from November he said this. And so he's had a great season, and he's considered by a lot of experts to be, if it's not Fields, Wilson could be a guy that could be the next quarterback taken after Trevor Lawrence. Did he pique your interest enough there, Jet fans? Steve Young calling him very much like Mahomes. Okay, I admit, you got my attention.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
Let's pick the locals here because, you know what, I'm 27-28-1, and I'm trying to get over 500, trying to get in the black before the end of the season. So the Giants at Baltimore, 1 o'clock game. William Hill has Baltimore laying 11. I'm going to take it because we don't know about Daniel Jones. Joe Judge, Tom Rock tweeted this a few minutes ago from Newsday. Joe Judge doesn't know if he'll be the quarterback this week. But he did say in terms of beyond the season, he said, quote, this guy has earned my respect. Daniel Jones is our quarterback. So no questions, at least about the future for him. All right, Browns at the Jets, also 1 o'clock. So we're going to be split watching that game on Sunday from channel to channel. Browns at Jets, and the Browns, as the road team, they're laying 9.5. I'll be taking that as well. Lock that in. I got the Browns. No Quinnen Williams, remember, is now on IR with the neck issue, concussion. He will not play the rest of this season, so the defense takes a major hit. So we take in both the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. That's the picks, and we're sticking to it. All right. This is our final show of 2020. And I feel like it's a good time to take a moment to reflect on the year, which started with me returning to daytime and pairing with Bart. And in 12 months, two time slots later, we're moving to the national broadcast, as we talked about on January 5th. And it's crazy. Now, none of us are going to forget. How could you forget 2020? We're all going to be talking about it. The world absolutely stopped. Priorities have changed, and we're never going to be the same. This was a year where it just seemed like it was endless tragedy, anxiety, and polarity. I mean, like any year, I mean, we lose people we admire, but didn't it feel like it hurt a little more this year? I mean, Kobe, Whitey, Diego, Gale Sayers, Justice Ginsburg, Chadwick, Naya, Regis, Malik B., Eddie Van Halen, Trebek, Connery. You know, I know it's not unprecedented to have death, but this year, like I said, just felt it a little more. Some of us lost people close to us, and some due to that damn virus. This felt like a long losing season, didn't it? The losses just mounted, and it challenges your spirit. But, you know, in our show open, we have that line from Rocky about how it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward. And, you know, that, my friends, that is how winning is done. I mean, you know, we'll remember that when there was no live sports, what were we talking about? At least we had The Last Dance. It's nostalgia. It's a cozy blanket. It keeps us warm. And we had Tiger King. I can't explain Tiger King. That's like the microwave burrito, right? You regret it later. So anyways, we head home for the holidays, and I mean, I'm already home, but you know what I mean. I just want to say thank you to everyone that supported me and the improbable growth of this show. It's been a challenging year for a lot of us, and it means a lot. It means a lot to me. John Winthrop, Anthony Pusick, and obviously Bart, who's become a great friend of mine. I'm the eternal optimist. I mean, I'm a Jets fan and Knicks fan. Don't you have to be? I put my faith in a better days ahead for 2021 for all of us. So Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. We'll see you in the new year. God bless everyone. Be well.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.